Now, here's Dr. John Coben with today's edition of Liberty Minutes.
Beware of education reform bills. They might not provide the tax and choice benefits that you think. This is Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. While I support anything that reduces extortion, ceteris paribus, I will not do so at any cost. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford's proposed Put Parents in Charge Act of 2005, or PPIC, which is sponsored by the South Carolinians for Responsible Government, has received widespread support among political conservatives and some libertarians. Even homeschoolers have been caught up in the euphoria. What's the great draw? Well, speaking candidly, it's the money. Considerable real property and income tax credits for those earning under $75,000 annually, and some fine-sounding social goals could be realized. The South Carolina government school, widely regarded as a failure, is responsible for consuming about half of the state's budget and two-thirds of county budgets, $9,260 per student annually. Yet only 53% of South Carolina's high school students graduate, the lowest rate in the nation. PPIC is supposed to make education more competitive, thus improving quality using market forces, alleviate wasteful spending and unresponsive bureaucrats, and allow wider parental control to engender improvement in public school output. Moreover, since leftists and liberals oppose PPIC, shouldn't true conservatives and libertarians support it by default? Not necessarily. PPIC's purposes should give us pause. According to Article 1, Section 12-15-20 of the bill, its stated objectives are, 1, to restore parental control of education, 2, to improve public school performance, and 3, to expand educational opportunities for low- and middle-income families, or families in poverty. But are these objectives laudable? I think not. First, parental control of education does not need to be restored. Home and Christian or private schooling parents already have control. They gain nothing through PPIC. So the first objective provides me with no reason to support it. Second, PPIC's other two objectives are wrong-headed, proactive policies which should be opposed by anyone who loves liberty. True conservatives and libertarians should want to decrease public school performance, even to the point of allowing it to go down the drain. In a letter published in the Greenville News, January 20, 2005, one concerned citizen boldly asserted that PPIC is an assault on public education. The governor's proposed voucher plan will destroy public education in South Carolina. It will divert already scarce education funding resources from the public school system and undermine the value of a public education. Well, I only wish it were that easy. The big problem is that it is really hard to get rid of public education. It is a behemoth barnacle with a strong grip, indeed a stranglehold over modern America. Times Examiner columnist Thomas Sowell notes, "In the long run, the greatest weapon of mass destruction is stupidity. In an age of artificial intelligence, too many of our schools are producing artificial stupidity." Moreover, as Bruce Short emphasizes in The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, the government school is a pagan seminary, a hub of secular humanism coupled with undisciplined behavioral ethics and amoral practices. Similarly, I argue in Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, that it is an inherently evil and non-transformable institution. Indeed, the government school is the left's major indoctrination center that thrives on the marrow of society. Only a social upheaval of massive proportions can possibly pry it off. In addition, the expectation that wider consumer choice will increase home or private school enrollment, thus putting pressure on the public school to improve, is based on the rather dubious presumption that some parents would be principled if they only had more money. Their economic situation has prevented them from doing what is right or best for their kids. Frankly, I have some doubt about whether they would move their kids from a public to alternative schools if they were simply to receive a tax credit to help offset tuition and materials costs. Would they also attend church more faithfully if they were paid? Third, the state should not be encouraged to use extorted money or its other helping powers to benefit relatively poor people do anything, especially at some poor taxpayer's expense. Even if PPIC does increase the level of tax-advantaged donations that corporations will utilize to make more scholarship funds available, PPIC is not cleansed. Such an incentive merely shifts tax money from one redistributive program to another while keeping all the state's legislative regulatory strings attached. Therefore, while some libertarians are conservatives, even the Homeschool Legal Defense Association senior counsel DeWitt T. Black III might view PPIC's objectives as noble at first glance, I hope they will quickly reconsider their thinking once they realize that PPIC merely fosters greater socialism and baneful proactive policies. While any policy that defunds the public school and reduces taxes is potentially good, let us beware of the stick while gazing upon the carrot. The present tax savings of some people under PPIC hardly justifies the impositions that will likely be faced by families in the future. Plus, what if PPIC actually did help public schooling improve? Such a result would be counterproductive to the cause of truth and liberty. Let's not forget that the government school is the darling of the statist and the leftists. It is the icon of anti-liberty and anti-Christian forces in society. Enacting PPIC is like opening Pandora's box. The state has an uncanny ability to regulate us beyond what we can ask or think. This legislation is deleterious to the cause of freedom, not so much because of what it is, but because of what will likely stem from it. If PPIC passes, don't be surprised if 5 years from now the legislature finds it convenient to regulate what, when, where, and how home and Christian schooling is done. In that case, you would love to find a way to pay a bribe of equal or greater amount than your current property tax bill just to keep the state from meddling with your family. So let's not let the camel's nose into the tent. Next thing we know, the whole camel will be inside too. In sum, PPIC is pragmatic, confused, and unprincipled. It ought thus to be rejected by true conservatives and libertarians. Instead of helping parents of home and private school children, PPIC opens a door for expanded government regulation of home and private education. It aims to aid and abet our chief social enemy, the public school, as well as fostering wayward proactive public policies of redistribution, the collaborator of socialism. Once again, PPIC bestows neither added parental control nor any betterment in parental choice. Parents already have academic hegemony and can choose from public, private, Christian, or homeschool options for their children. The big benefit of PPIC is the tax credit, and certainly we all favor reducing extortion by lowering taxes. A possible ancillary benefit, according to liberal opponents of PPIC, would occur if PPIC succeeds in draining money from public education or further eroding public opinion about the public school system. Both of these outcomes, if veritable, would be laudable and desirable. Nevertheless, just how willing are we to trade liberty for tax breaks and a few pot shots at the enemy? Is greater government regulation over our children's education worth the money and gore? The hard left has failed to defeat alternative school users in the courts. Thus, the left's next best strategy may be to beat them indirectly by regulating their private educational endeavors, and tempting neoconservatives to support bills like PPIC could be part of that strategy. Although PPIC provides a tantalizing lure, it would gradually undermine the educational freedom movement by opening the door for increased pernicious and intrusive state regulation. Think about the money issue from another perspective. How much would you be willing to pay, for instance, to guarantee that the state will not meddle with your home or Christian school? Is it worth $1,000 per year to you? I hope so. For that reason alone, consider property taxes as a bribe to ensure your family's liberty. Yes, such bribes, taxes, are extortion, but at least you might be left alone by buying off state agents. Perhaps you don't like paying off the mafia, but doing so is far better than having your kneecaps broken. If we are going to support a public policy change, why not back a better alternative? Let's rally around a public policy that will truly put parents in charge of their children's education. Consider the following six key objectives that form the foundation of a liberty-enhancing policy alternative to PPIC. Core building blocks for something called the South Carolina Educational Freedom Act, SCEFA. SCEFA proposes to provide a flat credit, not a voucher, equal to 80% of the real property taxes due of custodial parents or guardians who send their children to private schools or who homeschool simply by demonstrating that their kids are in such a school situation full-time. Provide the same flat credit equal to 80% of the real property taxes due for other relatives of such children, for instance, a grandparent, an uncle, and so forth, if they can show receipts for expenses paid on a dollar-for-dollar basis, for at least one child's private or home school education. Provide a refundable credit against state income taxes on a per capita basis, $2,000 per child, up to $10,000 per parent, regardless of annual earnings. The credit is refundable up to a maximum of $500 per year, and the remainder, unused portion of the credit, may be applied against future taxes. Decree that the state in no way will attempt to regulate the curriculum, methods, hours of instruction, or the credentialing of any homeschool parent, or establish any testing requirement for home or private schooled kids by declaring such actions to be against the public interest. Exempt home and private schooled children from truancy legislation, completely severing any tie between such students and the public school, and thus forcing the public school to compete for students on the basis of its performance in teaching children basic skills and knowledge. Provide a non-refundable credit to any individual, business, trust, foundation, or other entity that contributes to a merit-based or needs-based scholarship fund to encourage home or private schooling. The credit would be equal to 50% of the amount contributed, up to a maximum of $10 million, and could be used to reduce both real property taxes due and/or state income taxes due. Credits may be carried forward. The lost tax revenue due to these credits would be commensurate with the expected saving in public school expenditures. Given the high cost of educating a student in the South Carolina public school system, the credits might even produce a windfall for budget-constrained South Carolina as public schools are efficiently downsized. Nevertheless, unlike the second stated objective of PPIC, SCIFA is not primarily intended to help improve the public school or to bolster fiscal relief. Its primary purposes are to protect and affirm parental control over education of their children and to alleviate the egregious tax burden shackling parents who use alternatives to the public school system. And what true conservative or libertarian can argue with SCIFA's purposes? Therefore, instead of supporting tainted policy like PPIC, let's rally around a new proposal like SCIFA. Let's join forces to enhance liberty rather than bring more government regulation over our lives. And this has been Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. To find out more about Liberty Minutes, log on to www.policyofliberty.net.